Joint board will meet on Monday at 6:30, and elders will follow, so that'll be tomorrow. We look forward to our opportunity to gather as a joint board and look at the future of our church. Our OMMC book club is meeting this Tuesday, September 18th, from 6:30 to 7:45 at the church. We'll meet in Becky Canfield's Sunday school class. It's really well done, a great place to meet. We're reading Have a Little Faith by Mitch Albom, a very short, quick read. So if you even had a haven't had a chance to pick it up yet, you can pick it up on your Kindle or anything, and it's a very quick read. Even if you just want to start it a little bit, or you're interested in starting afterwards, it's a great opportunity to talk about how God's working through some of our contemporary books that we see out in our world. And please don't forget, we have a pound auction on the 22nd to raise money for our Camp Scholarship Fund. I'm going to give Floyd a chance to speak about that in just a moment. And on the 29th, we're also having a quarter auction here. So a lot of quarter auctions, but a lot of opportunities to help serve our church. Lunch Bunch will be at Bueller's. And also, don't forget, we need ushers and greeters to sign up for September and October. And we need volunteers to bring items for, I believe, both quarter auctions. As well. So if you have the opportunity to do that, please do. At this time, I invite anybody else who has any other announcements to share. Floyd?
Okay, in 2013 was the last time we had a pound auction here. And everybody's thinking, what in the world is a pound auction? Well, there is two auctioneers in this church that auctions off early packages. A nice little early package that weighs roughly a pound. Now, we're not going to sell the old washer and dryer. Don't try to make anything big. It's got to be something that people can take home with them. And try to put it in a nice, decorated package. Some of them go for cheaper than $1. Some of them may go for $4 or $5. And that's $50.
Ooh, it's blinding over here, sorry.
Packages in the pound auction go as high as $50. I said, though, the biggest part of them go for $1 or $2. The reason for the pound auction is we've got young kids in the church that would like to go to camp. So the best thing to do is raise money for the kids to send them to camp. This is an easy way to do it. You've got a bag of old candy laying around the house, dog biscuits, an old box of nails, anything. Anything that weighs 8 pounds. Now, when I say 8 pounds, if it weighs 8 ounces, we're not going to not auction it off. If it weighs 50 pounds, the two auctioneers cannot hold 50 pounds a year, very long. So try to stay as close to a pound as you can. And remember one other thing. There's going to be a lot of fellowship. There is going to be a lot of good food. Everybody that comes, please bring a couple packages. And please bring food, because I'll be hungry that night. Okay? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Floyd. I plan on donating my pet Rock Willie to this wonderful cause, so whoever wins that will be a very happy person. But yeah, as Floyd was saying, great opportunity to support our Camp Scholarship Fund. One of the great things we had this year is we sent more kids to camp than we have in the past. So the trade-off of that is we've got to keep fundraising to keep supporting this, because we want to keep sending more kids, because it's a great ministry and a great way to get our kids engaged with the Moravian Church and the wider church as well. Anyone else have any other announcements? All right, let us stand and greet one another.
Morning, Alicia.
Morning, Angie.
Well, I got to come here. Morning, Kaylee. Morning, Raya. Morning, Brock. Morning, Mr. Jonathan. Good to see you. Morning, Vicky. Morning, Danielle. Morning, Linda. Morning, Millie. Do a chest bump. Morning, Doug. Morning, Rick. Morning, Mr. Nick. Morning, Billy.
At this time, I invite you to remain standing as we join together in our watchword for the week. And our watchword this week comes from the 8th chapter of Mark, on the 29th verse. He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." Amen. You may be seated.
Please stand for the call to worship. Good and gracious Lord, you humbly call us together.
May we all join hands as sinners and rejoice in our invitation to your table.
How should we approach your table?
May we approach the Lord with forgiveness in our hearts and kindness on our tongues.
Please remain standing for "Come Now, Almighty King," which we found on page 555 in your handout.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Let us take our hearts and minds and enter a time of reflective prayer, as we have much to be grateful about and much to be prayerful about in our own lives. We especially keep in prayer this week Janie Martin, who is having surgery tomorrow to have her leg amputated below her knee. Our prayers are with the Martin family at this time as she goes through this surgery and hopefully an end to surgeries for a little bit after this. For Aunt Bert, who's on hospice care. She would be Audrey Hunt's aunt. And we pray for her as she's in her last stages of cancer, and just prayers for God's presence with you and your family at this time as well. That's all right. And God thundered love down from above for you. We also think of as our world right now, for all those in the path of Hurricane Florence and all the first responders bravely helping those in need. We think of people who have been displaced by this hurricane. I know, Vicki, you said you have some relatives down there. Emily's brother, who's a Marine, they're stationed in Camp Lejeune in North Carolina, so he's up with family in Pennsylvania, and he'll return after the hurricane has come. The blessing there is that's given him more time to visit with Emily's father as he's in the hospital right now. But just continue that we respond to those in need. Also, for those in the Philippines who were hit with a nasty typhoon and just ask for God's presence in so many natural disasters. And we continue to pray for Janet Jenkins. She had heart surgery about a week ago, and she had 3 valves replaced in her heart, and she actually got home from the hospital this past week. So continue to pray for her and for Dave Jenkins as he continues to provide her support and care at this time. We continue to ask for prayers for Emily's father, Warren Toyberg, who remains in cardiac intensive care in New York City. The latest update we have is that he has bilateral pulmonary embolisms. The good news about that is they caught those really early, so we're hoping that's treatable. And it's just been one more thing he's been battling as they continue to fight the effects of this infection that he's had. I ask that you continue to pray for his family. We're about 30 days that he's been in New York City, and almost 40 days he's been hospitalized. So please keep prayers up for Emily's family as they continue to provide a lot of love and support. My father, Bob Lippert, had his second successful cataract surgery this past week, so we rejoice with him. For Don Schanauer, who continues to recover from the heart stent that he had placed and another one down the road, we continue to pray with you on your recovery. For Janet West, who had her still recovering from her knee procedure. We also think of Jim Schaefer, who's been dealing with some knee issues as well. And for Chris Johnson, who will be celebrating her last day at Fry's Valley today. And the Johnson family will be on the road to Bethlehem, I believe, if not this week, it'll be the following week. So we continue to uplift them in prayer and continue to pray for the Yerkesville, Fry's Valley, and Janaden Hutton congregations. And today is also Cup of Covenant for Moravian ministers, where we renew our ordination vows. And we had the opportunity to do that at Dover on Tuesday with some special guests. We had a bishop from, I believe, Ghana, and who came and joined us. And it was a wonderful opportunity to see how our ordination vows have been expressed in different places throughout the world. And I just rejoice with the collegiality we have in this community. Because it's rare to have so many Moravians in one area to support each other, and it's really a true blessing for all of us. And also I ask that in our prayer time we turn our hearts to communion and think about what we have done and what we have not done, and think about the opportunity to come forth to God in forgiveness and love and the gratitude that we receive from the greatest gift of God. Let us bow our heads and open our hearts as we invite God in this time of prayer. Gracious and loving God, we pray first and foremost for those who are in harm's way this week, for those who are in the path of hurricanes and typhoons and other natural disasters, God. There are so many people who did not have the opportunity to leave these places. Be with them, protect them, help people respond. Because we don't know what causes tragedy, but we do know that we get the opportunity to respond. And help us to be a people that truly takes to heart what it means to be in the hands and feet of Christ in all times, in all places. We pray for the sick. There are so many people who have undergone surgery, treatments, or surgeries to come. Gracious God, protect them. Help them to see that though these can be scary times, there are times when they are not alone, where the comfort of God and their loved ones will hold them through, will hold their hand. Even when it seems insurmountable, God's presence will be with us in those times. And gracious God, we celebrate Covenant Day, as so many of us covenant our hearts to you. And we remember all the vows that we have made, our baptismal vows, to be children of God, and help us to renew and inspire, and never get stale in our faith, but keep looking for ways to grow and to seek God in all we say and all we do. And gracious God, as we turn our hearts to communion today, we confess that we have not always done what we should have done. We have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. And we pray for your forgiveness. And most importantly, we celebrate with your love, because your forgiveness far extends your judgment. And we get to celebrate that every single day your love has been poured out for us. And all we have to do is accept it and invite it into our hearts. For God is there and God is everywhere. In your gracious name we pray. Amen.
Our first scripture lesson is Psalm chapter 116, verses 1 through 9. It can be found on page 435 in your pew Bibles. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our Lord is full of compassion. The Lord protects the simple-hearted. When I was in great need, he saved me. Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living.
Thank you, Jacob. Our gospel today comes from Mark, the 8th chapter, verses 27 to 38. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say that I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, but Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then he called the crowd to him, along with the disciples, and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciples must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone else give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." May this reading of God's holy word reach your heart, your minds, and your actions. Thanks be to God. This time I invite the children to come forward for the children's moment. Just put this right here. There you go. Come on up. So good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Everybody have a good week at school and preschool and all those fun and exciting things? So I want to ask you guys a question. What's your best subject in school? Paige? Reading. Araya? Math. That's an important one. Oh, come on. Aubrey. Sorry. I'm tired, Aubrey. What's your favorite subject? Getting to play outside, that's a fun one. Gym is one of my favorites. Brandon, how about you? Brandon, what's your favorite? Getting to play that. Nick? Gym? That was one of my favorite ones. How about what's a subject you struggle with at school? Paige? Math can be a tough one. Nick? What was that? You don't have one? No weaknesses? Straight A's? So mom can expect straight A's for you? For Aubrey, how about you? What's a tough one? Sometimes we get in trouble. Yep, that happens too. Araya, did you have one that was kind of tough? No? You know what mine was? Art class. I was terrible. Yeah, look at me surprised. I was terrible at drawing. I could think of all these smart ideas, but putting it on paper was just, it did not look good. When I was probably in 11th or 12th grade, everybody thought my drawings belonged to like 3 or 4 years old. So I was not a very good drawer. In fact, 3 and 4 year olds could still probably draw better than I could today. I bet Aubrey could draw much better picture than I could. Yeah, you could.
So I want to tell you guys about a magic thing that I have. And so this magic thing that I have is this piece of paper. And if you give this piece of paper to your teacher, this is an A+. If you turn this into your teacher, she will give you an A+ on every single thing you do for the rest of your life. How many of you guys want this paper? Who here wants this paper? I see some people out there who want this paper. So why do you want this paper? What would be awesome about it, Nick? You get a good grade? Paige, what about? Your parents wouldn't ground you? That's a Aubrey, how about you? It would feel pretty good, wouldn't it? You would have a good day, yeah. So what would be the downfall of if you had this paper? If you could just give this to your teacher before you even started learning about anything, what do you think would happen? If A+ was just, oh, I got to give you this paper and I don't have to pay attention to class, how much do you think you would learn in class? Nick? Not at all. Tyler, how about you? It'd be tough to learn anything because you already got it in the bag. So do you think knowing that you could get an A+ on everything before every single class, do you think that would be a good thing or a bad thing? It would actually be a bad thing because guess what? You wouldn't learn a thing. And then you would graduate high school and college and everybody would say, wow, look at how smart they are. They got all A's in everything. And then they'd ask you about all these things you'd learn and what would you tell them? You wouldn't remember anything because it came so easily to you. And so that's why some of the classes we got to work at, like math and reading and science and art and handwriting was another one that was an issue for me. The harder we work at them, the more we still learn, even if we get a B or a C. And the same thing applies to money. Like if you guys had unlimited amount of money and you could buy whatever you wanted with it, what would you buy? Video games? Who would buy video games? Yeah, I would be guilty of that. Video game systems. When you're old enough, you get a fancy car. Maybe Paige, what would you get? You'd buy all the chocolate. Okay. Maybe get yourself a pony or something. Something really cool. And you know what would happen, though? If you had an unlimited amount of money, you wouldn't appreciate the things you have because it would come so easily to you. And so sometimes when you got to work for things, like when I was 13 or 14, I started working at an apple orchard for about $7 an hour. And you know what it taught me? It taught me the value of hard work. So whatever I saved up for, even if it was a car that was about as old as I was, it taught me to value that car, to take care of that thing. Because our scripture lesson tells us, what do you benefit if you gain the world and lose your soul? And what Jesus is talking about there, what happens if you take the easy road just for the sense of gratification? Just because it looks easy. But sometimes the road where you have to work hard for something is much more beneficial. And the same thing comes with friends. How many of you, if you had the choice to have one really awesome best friend or 1,000 kind of so-so friends, who would choose so-so friends? Who would choose having an awesome best friend? I think I would choose having an awesome best friend. And one of the things adults learn is that you can have 1,000 Facebook friends, but there are so few people you can count on your hands, people you can count on and trust on, and those are the people you got to take care of. Those are the people you got to watch out for. Because true friends, as Jesus teaches us, are valuable commodities that we should possess and take care of and nurture because they don't come often. So let's take a moment and let's collect our joyful noise offering. And is this for Harbor House, I believe? Harbor House, yeah. So the opportunity to support those who need some placement and help as they deal with some family situations. Brandon, do you need... Brandon, we'll get you. Come here. We'll get you. You want to go with Tyler? Let's go with Tyler. Yep, you can help him. Thank you. There you go. That's Aubrey. Let's bring our cans on up. Everybody got a chance to put something in the can. All right, we're going to get in our circle, but before we get in our circle, I'm going to ask Mr. Tyler Castor to get in the middle of our circle. And before we pray, it turns out that it's somebody's birthday today, Mr. Tyler's birthday, so we're going to sing Happy Birthday for him. So, ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Tyler. Happy birthday to you. All right. And his birthday wish was for a happy and healthy Aaron Rodgers. That's what he told me. So let us pray together. Gracious God, we ask that you bless these children. We thank you that they are an active part of our ministry, and help them when given the decision between something easy or something hard and fulfilling. Help them to take the path that was a little lighter, but will challenge them and make them stronger as children of God and make them appreciate all the blessings that they have been given. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen. Thank you all very much. So let us enter a time of prayer as we get ready to hear the message of God's word. Gracious God, we ask that you open our hearts and our minds and our ears to the words that you inspire within us, and help us to see that your words are alive and active today. In your wonderful and gracious name we pray. Amen. So it seemed fitting for our children's chat that we talked a lot about schoolwork, because that's well, I want to start off with many of you today. I'm going back to your school days. For some of you, that could be a little bit. For some of you, that could be something you're currently going through. But right now, I'm going to ask you all, I want everyone here, young and old, to picture the most challenging teacher you had growing up. Who was the person that was most challenging for you, that was hardest on you, that was the strictest? The one that would lead to most of your groundings, as Miss Paige Martin would say. And I want you to picture this teacher that where there was nothing you could do to please them. The one teacher whose report cards comments you would try to accidentally smudge before turning it over to mom and dad, or you would see their coffee next to that report card and you would swat at it like it was a fly because you knew that you did not want mom and dad to see those comments. And no matter how hard you worked for this person, it was never good enough to please them. I want you to picture this person. Do you see this person? Do you visualize them? This challenging teacher. And now I want you to imagine what it would be like when that moment finally came and you got an A from this teacher. You got that magical A plus, but this time you worked for it. And not only was it an A plus, but there was a message in all smiley faces next to your test score. You know, that thing the kid really sees, you don't see the grade, but you just see all the exclamation points or smiley faces. Or it could be something as simple as a pat on the back. And imagine the pride that you would be beaming with. And I have a feeling that if it were me and I was 10 or 12 years old, my chest would be sticking out rather noticeably on that day, because I finally did it. I finally conquered that teacher. And now I want you to think about Peter, because that is the feeling that Peter had when he finally got a question right from Jesus. It wasn't, no, you screwed this one up. It was, hey, you actually did this correct, because Jesus asked him, who do you say that I am? And Peter answered, you are the Christ. And Mark has a very different version of this event that happened than Matthew does, actually. Because Mark, Peter gets the question right, and immediately Jesus shushes him and tells him to keep quiet, because Jesus being a Messiah in Mark is a secret until the very end of the gospel. It's the cliffhanger that everybody's waiting for. But in Matthew celebrates Peter's correct answer, and Jesus tells Peter, blessed are you,
Simon, son of Jonah. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. That's the report card that Peter wants to bring home to his mama, the one that says, you are the rock that I will build this church upon. And if you believe, as our Catholic brothers and sisters do, this is actually the foundational text they use to set up papal succession, beginning with Peter. Because it all comes down to an interpretation of this. Because as Protestant, we believe the rock that Jesus is talking about is Peter's faith and not Peter himself. But the one thing I want to clarify is Jesus is not the angry, upset, or hard-to-please teacher, but he's a compassionate teacher who always expects more from his students. I think that's the difference between Jesus and the most difficult teacher you have. He always wants to get the best out of you. And that's a question we have to ask ourselves. Because do we care more about the grade on our report card or what we actually learned? And I remembered an experience when I was in 7th grade confirmation at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, and we had a teacher, Mr. Willie, who was principal of the school. I still went to the middle school, but they still had a church and a confirmation class. And Mr. Willie was about in his early 70s at this time, and Mr. Willie didn't take no flack. And the binder that I had for confirmation, I should show it to my confirmation students before I do it, because you should see how easy you had it, but it was about this thick. And we had this test where we had to memorize everything in this binder that was this thick. And the challenge was that we all had to get a 70 or above on this test, or we would all take the test again. We'd have to come back in our own personal time, not during confirmation class, and retake this gigantic test. And Mr. Willie was not raised in the participation ribbon generation. You had to work hard. And we all took this test, and we all failed. I got the highest grade at 69. And I was so obnoxious because I did not want to retake this test. So every single question I got wrong on this test, I raised my hand and challenged Mr. Willie. And I said, nope, this is the one I got right. And finally, he got so sick of me that he gave me the 70, but he did it in a way that made me feel really ashamed about it. He said, why couldn't you just work a little harder, retake this test because of the more knowledge you would have gained from studying again? And it really put me in my place because I was ecstatic for a moment to be the one person that passed this test, the one person that was clear and free of studying again. But Mr. Willie looked at me as somebody who expected more, that I could be better than my best, that I had more in me than even I knew. And those are the teachers that do a beautiful job. When they see what you're capable of, and they take what you are, and they see your potential, and they get those two to merge, and they get the very best out of you. So do we ultimately care more about the report card or what we actually learned? It was interesting. I did some research on grades for this paper because as I was sharing with the children's lesson, I was looking back and reflecting on that. It was only 2 years ago. I was still a student working through my master's program. And this should come as no surprise, but according to USA Today, grade point averages continue to be on the rise. The average GPA in 1950 was, does anybody want to guess what do you think the average GPA was in 1950? Was it 2.2? That's actually really close. It's 2.52. So the average grade would be, I think that's about, what, a C plus? So a little above average. That was the average grade. And so by 2006, that had risen to 3.11. So the average grade was like a B plus, kind of in that range. And now they're reporting that 47% of high school seniors graduate with an A average. So the average high schooler is now an A student. And I think there's kind of a blessing and curse for that, because I think students should feel pride about that, that the fact that they're an A student, that's a wonderful thing, that's a great thing. But I think it's also had a reverse effect on us. Because I know for me, I got to the point where A's were so easy, not easy, but they were easy attainable, that when I got an A, I didn't necessarily feel pride anymore, but I felt a sense of relief that I did what I was supposed to do. And the A had no longer become this bar that I was searching to reach, but I had kept up with the standard. And whenever I got like a B or a C, whew, did I freak out and did I have emotional trauma from that? And I think sometimes when we try to build people up, there has reverse consequences to that. And that sometimes it's good to work hard at something. Because some of the greatest character building moments we have are in opportunities where we're not the best, where we're not the brightest in that situation, but we had to work hard to get where we are. And I think so many of us benefit for us. And I didn't always choose the high road with that. Because I remember in high school, I was really book smart, incredibly intellectual, but I struggled with things like auto shop and things like building a birdhouse in wood shop was just that poor bird that had to sit in my birdhouse. I pray for that bird. And I remember I actually really wanted to take auto shop in high school. I wanted to learn about cars and how they work because I figured it was practical. Because if I'm stranded on the side of the road and both my tires are flat, I love my calculus, but I don't think it's going to get me to change my tire in that moment. But I refused to take that because it didn't look good on the college application that you took auto shop. And I knew if I took auto shop, I wasn't going to get an A in it. I was going to have to work hard to get a B or a C, or because it didn't come natural to me. Fixing things, as Tim Northrup would tell you, is not my greatest gift. And usually he gets a call after I try to fix something. But the fact that we're willing to challenge ourselves, that's what's important. Sometimes we got to do something more than just taking the easy A, taking the easy answer to the question. And what's interesting about this scripture passage is that Peter loses his high status with Jesus almost immediately. And it's because of how much Peter loves Jesus. Because Jesus tells him, "Get behind me, Satan," when Peter refuses to accept that Jesus needs to bear the pain of the cross. And it's easy for us to judge Peter in that moment. But I think it can be hard on anyone to watch a loved one endure any amount of pain or suffering. And Peter is no exception. If you ask Peter, I think he'd say he would rather switch places with Jesus and endure the pain for him. And I think there are many parents who have ever seen their child suffer or be in great pain who would gladly switch places with them. And finally, the last thing I want you to look at this text is Jesus says, if you want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. What is interesting when we hear this statement, we often think about our own crosses to bear in life. We think about our disabilities, our challenges, our flaws, and our inadequacies. We think about all those things that we are convinced that keep us from being truly happy. But the problem is, those aren't the personality traits we need to crucify. It's our selfishness, our anger, our jealousy, our resentment, and pettiness that we need to let go of. Because sin is anything that allows our own needs to trump the need of God and our neighbor. Sin is anything that allows our own needs to trump the needs of God and our neighbor. And when we let go of all these toxic emotions and actions, or at the very least we keep them from being our first response, we can truly die to self and live for something greater than our own ambition. We can start living for God. So brothers and sisters, when we follow in the footsteps of Christ, we learn that the secret to happiness is not a secret after all. It's not about what blessings we can receive, but what we can surrender. It's not about what we can take, but about what we can share. It's not about how we can fill our own hearts, but how we can pour out the love in our hearts for others. Because the path for our own happiness and fulfillment has been laid out for us by Christ. It is now up to us to take up those crosses, surrender something of ourselves, give something of ourselves, and share something of ourselves. And then we can truly, in our hearts, follow him with our hearts, our minds, and our souls. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we come before you and we just want to say thank you Thank you for the forgiveness and the gift that you have given us at the foot of the cross. And we realize that there are times that we are selfish, where we are petty, where we put our needs above others. But in those times, help us to look upon you and see that we are called to share. We are called to be compassionate. And we are called to give of ourselves. And that the secret to happiness is not something that is eluding us, but something that can be found in service to others, in service to God. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen. This time I invite you to join together in song. You may remain seated. Together in celebration in the service of communion as we celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit. May grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
Amen.
Let us extend the right hand of fellowship. Peace, David. Peace, Jacob. Peace, McKenna. Peace, Randy. Peace, Doug.
To me, my
prayer of thanksgiving, I want to remind you that the Moravian Church has an open communion table. All who invite God's love in their heart are welcome here. And let us celebrate the gift of community that each and every one of us has been given. Now let us pray together a prayer of thanksgiving. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks because today we celebrate that your love is greater than all the judgment and difficult things in our world that we face, and that we can be people of hope and faith because we see your blessings every single day in small acts of kindness and mercy and love. And whenever we lose our way or we lose sight of what is important to us, our faith in Christ, help us to seek the words that you taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." You may be seated. Please rise. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you." By your divine presence, by the holy sacraments, by all the merits of your life, suffering, death, and resurrection. In the same way, after supper, our Lord Jesus Christ took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." You may be seated. Please rise. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Drink of this, all of you, for whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." Christ, the Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. This cup, you proclaim the Lord's death
until he comes.
Let us extend the right hand of fellowship. Thank you. Mr. Jonathan? Rock, how are we doing? Mr. Jonathan? Ms. Uriah? Ms. Kaylee, how's it going? Mr. Terry. Ms. Alicia. Keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace.